From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Believe it or not, it's live from WGBB. I'm John Palmer going solo while Tony celebrates his 50th wedding anniversary. Poor Joan. Listen to Al. Jesus
flows as a gentle breeze, and it fills our soul with gladness, and it puts our heart at ease. Whether working or at leisure, Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask Him, He will guide us through.
You know, today, Trevor, it's just you and I against the world, and we're going to have to fight it through. We have a wonderful, wonderful collection of people on this show today. There's John Finelli, a musician. Benedetto, a man who's followed life in the spirit for 61 years. And Daphne Mills, who was touched by the Blessed Mother. And their stories are just so interesting. We present them because we know each of you will be touched your way by Jesus. I'd like to start with the theme for the show, Sit Beside Me, Lord. John Finelli was sick and not feeling well at all, and he prayed. Listen.
Sit beside me, Lord, as I talk with you. Come sit by my side as I pray. In this troubled world of mine, when I'm tossed and confused and blind, let my eyes be opened wide by your wounded hands and sight. Ever-loving Lord and forgiving me, let your spirit fly in my soul. Never be worthy of your love for me. Sit beside me, Lord, Jesus made me whole. Thank you. to see your face through that darkness, Lord. Just to feel your hand rest on mine. Through my trials and my fears, all my pain and all my tears, it's the hope you always give unto those through whom you live. While you're sitting here right beside me, Lord, light pours through the clouds, fills my soul. For the promise of your love for me makes me completely free. Sit beside me, Lord Jesus, make me whole.
You know, Trevor, John wrote that song while he was in pain, and that those are the words he heard, and asking Jesus to talk with him, and he did. And Benedetto, who was our first guest this morning that Tony interviewed in his church out in Ridgewood, and Benedetto was touched by God 61 years ago. And wait till you hear his story. It's being touched by the Holy Spirit and being open to Scripture. Go ahead, Tony.
Why don't you tell them a little something about yourself? Good morning, Dr. Tony, this morning. Thank you for this time. I have to go back to 1950, when I was 18 years old, when I, in my house, I lived in a flat room, apartments, and my family had a family Bible. And at that time, there was the Latin Mass, and I was not aware of any Bible study groups. So I decided to one day to open my Bible, which I have here on the table, which is a 61-year-old Bible now, and I went to the Gospel. And in the Gospels, I was reading of Jesus Christ and his healings and his miracles. At that time, the words came to mind that if we could only have this happen at our own time, that would be back in the 1950s, the churches will be filled of worshipers. And it took about 30 years later, that's after I was worked in the advertising business, I was in the art department, I had my shows, I was drawing for gallery shows in Manhattan during the 1970s, but I got a little tired at that time. It was like 1980, 30 years later, since I was 13 years old, that I attended my first healing mass in Sunnyside, Queens, Queen of Angels. It was a weekday evening mass filled with worshipers, packed. People were resting in the spirit at that time. They didn't know the words what was really happening, but it was happening. And then at that time, the priest was Father Dennis Kelleher. And the words came to mind that what happened when I was 13 years old was now unfolding. A prophecy when I was a young kid. A prophecy unfolding in front of me as I walked in that church. And it was the beginning of my new life, life in the Spirit, the life that was going to take me to a prayer group in Manhattan, St. John the Baptist prayer group. And it was there that I began with my fellow people with me to help me grow in the Spirit. My life was not going to change. I was going to leave the art field and go into the church more deeply. Go into the life more spiritually. And God was calling me into this new life that I did not know what was going to happen, but I was looking forward to come about in my life. Well, I'm going to say that again, when I was going to the prayer groups, I was going to healing masses now, and people, priests especially, were praying over me. I was what they call resting in the spirit, slaying the spirit. This is now becoming a familiar, a new way was happening. I was making notes of this. I was getting this wonderful experience for about 3 or 4 years. But then came 1984, again, the thoughts, and God knows our thoughts, came to me why I was not experiencing the Spirit of God at the Holy Eucharist, seeing God's body. I was experiencing the Spirit in prayers, people praying over me, we were praying over the people, and they were expressing the Spirit, but why it was not happening to me. I think this is the moment, the time was going to come. It was going to be a more personal, a walk with the Lord, led in the Spirit, and more into communion with the Lord. When, on December 4th, 1984, I went to confession at St. Francis of Assisi in Manhattan. I was kneeling in the communal, in the confessional, when the priest was behind the screen, and I was saying my confession. As soon as the priest said his part, and I said, I finished my sins, telling the priest my sins, still kneeling, I was resting in the Spirit, or in other words, slain in the Spirit. And I said to myself, the thought was, it has happened. God's revealing to me his presence in the confessional. And I was not going to Mass every day. And 2 days later, I was at St. Patrick's Cathedral when I went to communion to see the body of Christ. As soon as I put the body of Christ in my mouth, my head began to swoon. The swooning revealing to me, Ben, I'm here in confessional. Ben, I am here in communion at times of the Eucharist. I am present. And each day, whenever I go to communion or in prayers since 1984, this gentle swooning of my head takes place. This now is coming to me a personal relationship with Christ, more in communion with Christ. And at that time, beginning in 1984, 1985, was beginning to start writing. Writing as I read the Bible. As I read the Bible, the words were coming, and I was making notes, and my head would begin to swoon. And these scripture writings that I have in my journal is revealing to me what God is revealing, what wants me to know and hear and know about, and leading me to do his work in the church, which would be eventually to be a Eucharist minister. For the past 25 years, I've been one. And again, to write these letters, letters in which God is revealing to me to write to people, to priests. I wrote to Father Benedict Groeschel about these times and experiences. I called him up about the slain in the Spirit in the confessional, about receiving communion. And he said to me, God has something for you to do. And this is what I've been doing, is writing and writing letters to Father Patrick Groeschel during that time period, 1980s, until about 1991. And then writing letters to others, priests, and of course to Dr. Tony and Dr. John, more recently. And back in 1987, I had the privilege to meet Bishop McGarrigle in my church on a pastoral visit to my parish, St. Aloysius Church. I also mentioned a little bit about this experience in the confessional and at the communion time, which I still experience to this day. And I suggested, should I write to Father Malagreca? And he said yes, and which I did. And I also wrote to him about my experience in the communion and confession, but also in prayer life, even the Our Father or the Hail Mary, I experienced in the Spirit in my life. And again, the swooning of my head. And also, even in the sign of the cross. The sign of the cross, I'm experiencing the Spirit. So the life in the Catholic Church, the life in prayer life in the Catholic Church, inside the Church, outside of life as a Catholic, has given me strength through this experience and to be one with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. each day in my life. It isn't every day I'm writing in my spiritual journal, and he's revealing to me words. Words could be wonderful words for me. It could be more serious words. And but it still is there for me to know that God has a plan. I believe the plan is still yet to come, unfolded, and we'll see what will happen in time.
So that swooning aspect, is that like being slain in the spirit?
Well, it came, that's how it all started. So God, you know, is not going to, not to be scared of what the, sometimes people might be afraid of the spirit, what's going to happen, but the spirit is very gentle. And it started first with this slaying of the rest of the spirit, people catching me. But then God has something more. So now I knew there was this experience I've been having, but God was going to use me in a different way, which I had no idea it would be. And it was coming down to the writing through that swooning.
So how is Jesus using you now?
What I see, like, for instance, I've been writing letters to you.
Yes.
And there is, there's always
a bunch of those letters, by the way.
And then you will see that it's not just once, but it's going to be repeated. If it says, I wrote several times to you that God created, and it's not just one letter that says God's creating. God is sort of repeating again to me and then for you that God is involved, and that the repeating of the words may be a little differently each letter. But that's how discerning, how I discern too, that it's not just one letter to you, but some, I think like 30 letters now.
Yes.
And as you'll see from the beginning how I was writing. So God was showing you, and I knew from before how was God was working in my life. And I was going to show you and Dr. John about how I was writing, how the Lord was leading me to write, and is really for your encouragement and helping you in discernment too. If you want to do things on your program, that you would be encouraged to do it, to go ahead, not to be afraid. And these ways of God's creating, God, many times I wrote, do not be afraid, repeating this to
yes,
me and
yes.
to you, so that you should not be afraid to go ahead. Now you may have words or thoughts come to you and that may have discerning the same way, I mean the same words for you, that's encouraging for you to happen in your life and your program with Dr. John, to do God's will. And doing God's will is through this encouragement of words, having the words with us. These words that I write to you in bold face, those words are for you and for Dr. John. Now it's taken from the scripture. Now the Bible, of course, you know, is a many pages, many books are in it, but God's picking this out, going through from New Testament to the Old Testament, and I'm letting the Spirit to write this. And I've been doing this since the 1985, 86, 87, as I show, I wrote to Father Benedict Groeschel, and this is all happening today, but more, you know, I guess I would say, it goes back to these words, more mature. You know, I grew up as 18 years old, and 30 years later, the words here I got here on September 6th is a from Revelation, two words, prophetic words, in Luke 1:80, the child grew up and mature in his spirit. That's me growing up. And the mature in his spirit, it comes a time, from 1950s to 2011, so many years, it's like 61 years. And in those 61 years, and at the end it says here from Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. So no matter how old you are, God has a plan for you. And whatever, you just be open quietly to the Spirit. The Spirit in your life will change your life.
And so your journalizing with Jesus and with God has opened new doors for you, a new life for you, and started a new friendship for you. Is that the way I'm...
Absolutely. Since I've been writing to you for Father and Dr. John, this new life for your program is something new for me altogether. I never thought about this.
Although, never thought you were going to be on the radio, right?
Never.
In fact, I was a shy kid, walking
13 years old too. This can't be.
And that's why, that's what was happening in my life. So I was going to say one more thing.
Go ahead.
This Bible here has 61-year-old Bible. When I was 18 years old, and there was words that came to my mind at a time about, it was a big prophecy, and September 5th, I prayed this Bible for the first time in my life, and I have here the word from Matthew 24:18, make disciples of all nations.
Letters that you're getting, these journalism that you're getting, they all point to one thing, don't they? Don't they point to the love that Jesus has for us, and the reason why he's here, and the reason why he's given you these gifts? Is that?
Yeah, Jesus has a love for me, I know that, and he has a love for others, and that's why he wants me to share these words and this time of my experience. And this experience not for me, it's for me personally, but also to share with others that everyone can be open to God's love and God's spirit of love, to be with them, to be in communion with them each day in their lives.
You know, it's amazing when you hear Benedetto speak. At 61 years, he's been open to the Spirit. 61 years, gently every day, even when he makes the sign of the cross. Folks, listen to that. That's there for you to hear. God can touch you any way he wants. And Tony's going to talk to us about St. Barnabas, who was in his Saints of the Day. So, Tony, let's hear about it.
Well, Dr. Palmer, today I selected St. Barnabas to highlight. I selected St. Barnabas for several reasons. One of the reasons was that he was supposedly an uncle to John Mark. And you'll recall we highlighted John Mark several weeks ago, who was the writer of Gospels. And it said that Paul dictated to John Mark what to write on the Gospels. Also because there's a history between Paul, John Mark, and Barnabas. And again, 2 weeks ago, Jesus told his disciples that they should forgive their enemies or anyone that's done them wrong seven times. And that means forgive them for everything. Seven is the number for forgiving in the biblical days. So Jesus wanted to make sure that his apostles didn't hold grudges, so to speak. So let's move on about Paul and St. Barnabas. Paul did not travel alone on his journeys. He had a number of good friends who kept him company as he made his way from place to place, teaching with his heart about Jesus. It wasn't easy being followers of Jesus in those days. Following the stoning of Stephen, everyone seemed to be against him, the Jews, the Romans. There was one person they could rely on to cheer them up. His real name was Joseph. He was a Jew, born on the island of Cyprus. He had come to Jerusalem when Jesus was still teaching and preaching. In fact, he became one of the close followers of Jesus because he was good at cheering people up. He was nicknamed the one who encourages, or in Hebrew, that's Barnabas. He was generous as well. Soon after Stephen was stoned to death, Barnabas sold the field he owned and handed all the money over to the apostles to help any of the followers of Jesus who are in need. He was the first person in Jerusalem to trust Saul, or Paul. And we all know with the history of Paul, how he prosecuted the Christians and was influenced by the stoning of Stephen to go after all the Christians. After his return from Damascus, sometime later, Barnabas went to Antioch, which was the first place where the followers of Jesus were known as Christians. Christians there were deciding who should travel around the Mediterranean, see, to tell people about Jesus. Paul was one choice, Barnabas was the other, perhaps because he was from the island of Cyprus, where they'd go first. Young John Mark, who joined them for the start of the voyage. We all remember about John Mark when Jesus was confronted in the garden and he was hiding behind a tree and the Romans tried to capture him and he had a blanket on him and he had to run away naked. Yeah, we recall that. It was on this journey that Paul and Barnabas visited Lystra. The people thought that Barnabas was the king of the Greek gods, so he must have been fairly tall and impressive, and also perhaps quite handsome. Barnabas faithfully accompanied Paul for the whole of that first journey. Sadly, they didn't remain good friends. They quarreled, and that was because Paul was planning his second journey. And on the second journey, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, who left him for the first journey. Paul was angry, and he said no, firmly. He only came partway on our first journey. Then he went home. "He doesn't get a second chance with me," Paul said. Maybe he didn't hear what Jesus said to his disciples. Paul took a man named Silas on his second journey, while Barnabas was upset and went home to Cyprus, taking John Mark with him. Some people said that they were cousins, or that John Mark was a nephew to Uncle Barnabas. The subsequent events of life of St. Barnabas were not known for certain, except that he was known to the Corinthians, and tradition relates that he died in Cyprus after being stoned, as Stephen was stoned. Barnabas spoke with full faith and with the Holy Spirit for Jesus. No matter where he went and what he did, his faith never wavered. His love never wavered. And he was willing to be stoned to death for the love of Jesus. And so, Dr. Palmer, that's why I decided to put the pieces in place and to finish and tie in the story of Barnabas, John Mark, Paul, and also the gospel of Jesus when he told his apostles to forgive 7 times 7, which means to forgive everything. Thank you, John, and thank you for the opportunity to do the Saint of the Week.
You know, Trevor, I like these. I'm talking to you, Trevor, because I don't have Tony to talk to. But I love these saints because they're so human. They're just like you and I, Trevor, and the people who are on the show there, and everyone who's listening. You know, you all have the potential to be saints. You just got to listen. Daphne, who is our next guest, was a Methodist, and she's a musician. You'll hear all about her. And she was touched by God differently to the Blessed Mother. Listen to her story.
I'm here with Daphne DeMills, and she's a mother of 3 daughters. Believe it or not, she's a grandmother of 5. She actually doesn't look it. She's a convert to the Catholic religion, which was in June of 1986, and she participates in spiritual and liturgical life of the Church of Our Lady of Peace in Limburg. She's a Eucharistic minister, and she's a member of the choir.
Hi.
She's a singer, and guess what? She's a songwriter. We'll talk about that later on. And she is the member of the ministry, Rockville Center for the Prison Ministry.
Right.
And she visits the prisons, the women's prison, and she consults with them, and she administers to them.
Right.
And she talks about Jesus with them.
Right.
And she's also in the second year of a pastoral formation.
Right.
So, Daphne, welcome.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to have you. We're excited. And I think we're going to be introducing a new star soon. So.
The star for Jesus. Star for Jesus.
Okay, so tell us a little something about yourself, Daph.
Well, I'm originally from Jamaica, in Caribbean island. And I came here in 1970, so more or less, I've been here longer than I lived in Jamaica. I'm a convert, as you said. I was Methodist, and through an encounter with who I believe to be the Blessed Mother, that started me on my real journey. In 1984, I was living on Long Island, and I was in a relationship with someone whose family I later found out was involved with some evil practices. I was moving out of the house, but I had to get a certain amount of money before I could move. And so one morning, his mom called and she wanted to know when was I going to leave. And I said to her, you know, I have to get my money together. And she says, well, you need to get out there as soon as possible. And maybe because I was so much younger, I was a little bit feisty. And so I said to her, I'll leave when I want to. And she says, we'll see about that. So I'm leaving one morning, I'm in the kitchen, and I felt like something touched my arm. But all of a sudden, I felt like I was on fire, even though it was March, in the middle of winter. I just felt like I needed to get outside. I felt like I was going crazy. And I knew at the time, I just needed to get in a church, any church. And so I got in my car, and as I was driving down the road, my tire blew out, and I stopped at a gas station that had a garage. And while I was there and they were going to do the repairs, I had to wait, and I just kept on asking, I need to get in the church. I was new in the area, so I didn't know where the churches were. And one woman said, the only church that I know is open today, because it was a weekday, is a Catholic church. And I said to her, I don't care. I just need to get in a church.
What?
I just felt, I didn't feel right. I felt like I was crazy. I was getting crazy, like a crazy person. Not, you know, on edge, just feeling like somebody was watching me, that kind of feeling. And I knew it couldn't be good. Whatever it was, I knew it couldn't be good. And I just knew that if I went in the church, no matter what it is, maybe after seeing so many other movies about good and evil, you know, you felt safe in the church. So that's what came to mind. Okay? So I got in the church and I went through the side entrance. And when I got inside, there was a woman dressed in all white at the back of the church. She was standing on the left-hand side, but funny enough, that was the front of the church, but during the week they entered on the side. So I got in the church, you'd think I would sit down, but it was as if somebody was guiding me. Next thing, I was on the opposite side of her in a little chapel. When I got in the chapel, on the altar was our Blessed Mother. There was St. Michael the Archangel and St. Joseph with the infant Jesus in his arms. And so I sat down and I wanted to pray. But of course, what was I praying about? I didn't know what to pray. I just started to scream and scream real loud. And then I felt this hand on my head. And this very sweet voice saying to me, my child, you need Mary. Let's do the litany to Mary. And I didn't know what she was talking about, but she started to recite whatever this litany was. When she was finished, she started the Hail Mary. I knew the Hail Mary because when I lived in Jamaica, I lived near a Catholic school, and I would hear them reciting the Hail Mary. So I said it with her, and I felt great relief. When I turned to thank her, there was nobody standing behind me. I ran in the church. There was nobody there. And somehow I heard again, Blessed Virgin Mary. So for me, I feel very strongly that that was an encounter with our Blessed Mother. I felt so good. I just felt so good, as if everything I was feeling had disappeared. So, you know, I just kind of bask in that peace and that calm.
Oh. So what happened after that?
Okay, so then I moved. I moved to Springfield Gardens. And I was going to Christ the King in Springfield Gardens. And this was like, I think, 1985. And
you didn't convert yet, did you?
No.
You were still a Methodist.
I was a Methodist. And amazing enough, I walked in that church, and I didn't know I was in a Catholic church, because up on the in the choir, they were singing and they were praising and they were shouting to God. And I went, this can't be a Catholic church. And I went back outside and I looked again. It was a Catholic church, you know? And as a matter of fact, at the time, it was Darcel, who is now in charge of the Black African Ministry.
Yes.
That was
John
where she
TV.
Was. Yes, yes, yes. So anyway, Sister Thea Bowman was coming to a revival, and I wanted to know who was this Sister Thea Bowman. And so I went to the revival, and was I in for a shock. Very charismatic, amazing nun, who spoke everything about Jesus, you know. And as she was preaching, she was singing, and she was talking about the woman at the well. And I just was transfixed in my seat, because I felt like she was talking to me. It was a very powerful experience, so it must have been the Holy Spirit touching my soul, you know.
Uh-huh.
So when it was over, I went out to speak to her and to thank her, and she says, okay, my child. And immediately, I felt like some sort of itching going on with my body. Here I go again with the body. And I said, how could it be that I'm in the presence of this holy lady? What is going on? Well, it wasn't until years later that I realized that it was a spiritual experience, a good one this time, a good spiritual experience. And based on what happened later, you know, I wanted to follow Sister Thea, and I never did. And so the next time I heard about her was her at the Bishop's Conference, the Black Catholic Bishop Conference. I think this was in 1990, and she passed away shortly thereafter. And in 1992, I was going home one evening, and I would think of Sister Thea all the time, and especially sad that I didn't, you know more about her and be in her presence more. But in 1992, as I was going home one evening, I started to think of Sister Thea. And I got home, and I told my daughter, I didn't want to speak with anyone. I wanted to be in my room, and I got in my room, and I closed the door. And I started to cry, and I started to think so many different things going on, songs. And like I was doing this testimony, you know. And I felt like some healing was happening at the time. Well, when I looked at the listened to the recording the next couple of days, it didn't make sense to me what was going on. And I just kind of put it aside. And then I started to look into what it was, and I realized that they were songs. But in the meantime, after that encounter with Sister Thea in 1985, it started my conversion, you know, process.
And when did you convert, actually convert?
In 1986, because I was working in Manhattan at the time. And in 1985, there was a little chapel across the street called Faith, Hope, and Charity. And Father Leah Halperin was the priest there. And so I would go over at lunchtime to the service, and I didn't know, you know, anything about the Catholic way of really, you know, worshiping. So I would be sitting there in front of the tabernacle, and I didn't realize how powerful that was. And I started to think about becoming a Catholic, and I spoke to Father Halperin, and I would take instructions from him during my lunch hour. And so in 1986, in St. Patrick's Cathedral, I was, you know, converted there.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise Jesus.
St. Patrick's.
And
you know.
Speaking of Jesus, when did Jesus first come into your life?
Well,
and how did he come into your life?
Well, Jesus was always in my life. But, you know, like a lot of us, we talk about Jesus, but he's not really personal. And a lot of us call on Jesus, but don't really have a personal relationship with
and
him.
And that's what he wants, you know. You know?
Yes. Again, here comes Mother Mary, and I was in...
She's a Jewish mother.
I was actually in Santa Clara, California, and that came out of an experience that I had in Scottsdale, Arizona, when at like 3 o'clock I heard Our Lady of Peace. And so I came back to New York, and I went on the internet because I felt there was something big happening here. And I found Our Lady of Peace in Santa Clara, California. And the first time I went there, I was so, again, in love with Our Blessed Lady. And I went there October 12th to the 14th, and they actually have a pilgrimage weekend. And they have a pilgrimage from May to October. And so I promised them I would go back May. Well, when I went back in May, I wasn't feeling anything. I was going, well, why am I here? And I actually went to the movie on that Sunday afternoon, and coming back as I was passing the shrine, I heard, I brought you here so you can start knowing my son.
Hallelujah.
Yes, and it's just been magnificent. And I was on the Sea of Galilee, you know, some years later, and I looked out. It was so peaceful and calming. And as I looked out, I started to wonder if the things I read in the Bible, are they true? And I looked out, and then I heard this voice saying, yes, they're true. I'm with you now, and I'm always with you because you carry me in your heart. And, you know, that really started my relationship with Jesus.
And so what has your relationship with Jesus done for you?
Oh, my Lord. It's brought me out of the world. Because all this time I had one foot in the world and one foot on the narrow way. And it wasn't easy to just, like, leave the world. You know, my friends are there and everything is there. The little party happenings is there. And I'm here. You know, and it's amazing because my friends always say, even if I was at a party, I would leave. I had to go to church. You know, I had to go to church, but I wasn't totally out. But when I really had my experience with Jesus and I heard him saying, you know, I'm your all in all, I decided to be on the narrow road. The journey has not been easy, but I know that he's always there with me, carrying me sometimes, you know. I've met so many wonderful people along the path that talk so much about Jesus. As a matter of fact, I had one day of retreat out of Our Lady of the Island, and I think, I'm trying to remember his name, he's in charge of the charismatic conference up in Scranton, Bob Delahanty, I think that's his name probably, and he was giving a retreat out there, and he was talking about, you know, conversion and talking about Jesus. And then he started to say, there is someone here who has a song to sing. Go sing it. Nobody can do that but you. You were given that task to do. Go do what you have to do for Jesus. And again, I felt like he was speaking to me. And so I went up to him, and I said, after he was finished talking, and I said to him, you know, I think you were talking to me. And he says, well, okay, go get that CD done. And when it's done, send me a copy. So
you should know that Daphne is a singer. Daphne has her first album that's going to be released very shortly. And she's also agreed to play a song from her album so that you, our listeners, and sing praise and glory.
Yes, and the CD is called Universe is Calling because I wanted to leave the workforce, you know, and through prayer I was able to do that. And this was the final song on the album that I got called Everything Will Be All Right.
And isn't that so apropos when you have Jesus in your life?
Amen.
Amen. So maybe we should get right on to the song. What do you think,
okay,
Daphne?
Daphne, yes.
Thank you so much for your interview. Thank you so much for your witness. You have been an inspiration.
Oh,
and I'm sure there'll be some more conversions from your
conversion. Think so, because there's one song on the album called Woman of the Well, and in
I was going to mention that.
Yes, Jesus, the mandate says, I want you to go to the world and tell them everything about yourself. And when you tell them everything about yourself, you're going to win souls for me.
And Daphne is evangelizing through her music.
Yes.
And her album will soon be out. But first, maestro, music, please.
Yes, Lord, without you, I am nothing. good when I put my life in your hands. Everything will be all right. I come to you, my Lord and my King.
Thank you, Daphne, and we thank you, Benedetto, and we thank you, Tony, for those interviews and your saint of the day. I'd like to move now into the healing part of our show. You know, I was thinking before the show, what can we pray for? We pray for healing, yes. We pray for Liz and so many others. And Liz, I hope you're feeling better from your sickness of this past week. And so I just closed my eyes and said, Jesus, we're doing a show on opening hearts of people to your presence and to your light. And the similarity between Benedetto and Daphne is just unbelievable. 1984 was a significant year for both of them. They were both converted in St. Patrick's Cathedral, but both arrived there differently. One with scripture and the spirit, and the other with the Blessed Mother. So listeners, we're going to pray for you, that you open yourself up today to whatever way God wants to touch you. So Lord, let us take this moment, these times, put ourselves in your presence, Lord. And we ask you, Jesus, in any way that you can, touch the hearts of each listener. And if it's through Mary, then Mary, touch them. And if it's through the Spirit, come Holy Spirit into their hearts. Teach them that you are really, truly alive in them. And I hear these words in me now. I come that you might have my new life. I come that I may fill you with my grace and my love abundantly. I am here, my friends. I am here touching you at this very moment in time. I know your hearts are open to me. I also know every need that you have. I see the pain in your heart. I see the troubles you face in your lives. I know the worries that you have. I'm here with you now to tell you now. I am with you in all of your pain. I know it's hard to believe. You say, Jesus, why are you giving me so much pain? And he said, I don't give pain. That's not what I do. I walk through pain with you. I carry you if needed when you're really, really in trouble. My friends, I'm lifting you up right now. I know you're hurting. I know you're sad. Some of you are despairing. I give you hope. Some of you feel totally lost, and I shine my light into your heart. I lead you to scripture. I lead you to music. I lead you just to listen to the show. I lead you any way that you'll allow me in. I have an infinite number of ways to light your heart and to show you I am real. I am alive. I dwell in you. Feel my presence. Know I'm here. Know that I'm with you right now at this very moment. And Liz, I know you've been sick over these past few days with your Chiari disease and all these other problems. You get a sickness as well. I'll clear that up, my dear friend. I'll clear that up. And there are so many of you out there who have illnesses. I may not take them away, but I will help you with your attitude towards them. It's hard. It's hard. Being nailed to a cross. I know I was there. It's hard. It's hard to take lashes on the back from life. I know. I was there. It's hard. It's hard to have a crown of thorns. I know. I had them on me. See, I'm your Savior. I know what you need. I suffered all that for you. So that at this very moment in your time, in your life, I touch you. I love you. Christmas is 3 months away. 3 months away. Can you believe it? Did you do your shopping yet? You know, that spirit of Christmas has to last all year long. When I touch you at Christmas, it's also to touch you so that today can be Christmas and every day can be Christmas. I have two friends, Father Charles Mangano and Lori. They'd love to tell you about the spirit of Christmas. How's this for an ending for a show?
Keep the spirit of Christmas alive.
Keep the spirit of Christmas alive.
Keep the spirit of Christmas alive.
For a while, this wondrous season of love was meant to last, so the whole world wears a smile.
Let's keep the spirit of Christmas alive. After the tree comes down, beneath the glitter of tinsel and lights, there's a lot more love to go round.
Joy they bring, each day will be great.
Christmas cards to all our friends. Peace on earth is the message we share. This wondrous season of love should never end till the whole world learns to care.
Let's keep the spirit of Christmas alive after the tree comes down.
Tony and Joan, happy 50th wedding anniversary. And they said it wouldn't last. Amen.
Keep the spirit of Christmas alive.
We have a little extra time. My timing was off, folks. One week I'm too much, and you get cut off. And another week I'm too little, and I gotta keep on stretching and talking. You know that Christmas time is so important. It's all year round. Merry Christmas. Happy Easter. Happy Pentecost. God doesn't deal in time. He just touches your heart any way he wants. And now I think we're done. Are we, Tara? All right. All right. There's always Al. Oh, I saw Al this past weekend. He didn't beat me up. I'm still alive.
Oh, the spirit of sweet Jesus flows as a gentle breeze, and it fills our soul with gladness, and it puts our heart at ease. Whether working or at leisure, Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask him, he will guide us through.